Are you an entrepreneur that would like to quickly free up and create more cash flow and lasting wealth? Welcome to the Chris Miles Money Show. Chris Miles is a cash flow expert and the financial advocate for the entrepreneur. Chris will teach you how to create more freedom and more prosperity right now, not about saving 25 to 40 years from now. It's all about creating wealth and prosperity today. He's been featured on U.S. News, CNN Money, Bankrate.com, interviewed internationally on TV and radio, and has a high reputation for getting his clients fast, life-altering financial results with his company, Money Ripples. Learn more at MoneyRipples.com. Now, here's your host, Chris Miles.
Hello, my fellow Ripplers. This is Chris Miles, your cash flow expert and anti-financial advisor. Welcome out for a wonderful show, a show that's for you and about you. Those of you that work so hard for your money, but you're ready for your money to start working harder for you now. You want that freedom, that cash flow, that prosperity today, not 30 or 40 billion years from now, but right now. You want that freedom and that ability to be able to be with you, those that you love, to do what you love whenever you want. And it's not just about your own comfort and convenience, but as Ripplers, you actually want to create a difference in the world. You want to, you know that as you prosper, you can create a ripple effect in other people's lives as well. And guys, I appreciate you guys being a part of this movement. I appreciate you guys tuning in, sharing, binging, and doing all the things you guys have been doing, because this ripple effect that I'm working to create is possible through you. And I just got to tell you guys, I am so appreciative of this opportunity for me to serve you. That I can create a ripple effect through that, and that you guys allow me to have a bigger megaphone, you know, a bigger voice as a result of that. So thank you so much for being a part of this today. As a reminder, check out our website, moneyripples.com. You know, also quick shout out to our sponsors, American Homeowner Preservation. Guys, if you want seriously great returns while making a difference in people's lives, you should check out American Homeowner Preservation. American Homeowner Preservation, what they do is they actually help people stay in their homes by either helping them refinance or sell in their homes and be able to get cash out of it. And as a result, especially if they can stay in their homes, they can actually be able to be in a better place and help them out. And this time of year, we need that more than ever. So not only does it great social good for people, but it also pays you a great return. And you can invest with as little as a minimum of $100. And that return is like 10% a year. So it's awesome, guys. So anyways, check out their website. It's fundingahp.com. That's FUNDINGAHP, as in American Homeowner Preservation.com. So today, guys, I've really been thinking about, especially as we're moving into the holiday season and Christmas time is just really just about a week away. You know, I was really thinking about, you know, what to share with you guys, because, you know, there are so many things, so many thoughts that I have, and I write down all these ideas for possible podcasts. And by the way, just as a quick reminder, if you guys want to hear a specific topic, shoot me an email, chris@moneyripples.com. Especially if you have questions or you think, hey, there's a topic we would love to hear in 2020, let me know. But as I was thinking about what to share with you guys, I started thinking about of past episodes I've done around this time of year. You know, for example, I mean, I've talked about things as you know, really applicable, things that are practical, like, you know, finding extra cash around the holiday season. You can see this in past episodes, of course. There was a time I talked about the time I struggled during the recession, you know, just about 10 years ago, where I didn't have anything and the people did the 12 days of Christmas and it really benefited my life. And even last year, we talked about, you know, being able to put that in action, by, you know, giving to a cause, a charity. And I mentioned one with my friend Ann Webb that she did last year and buying cows and goats and things like that, allowing people to become self-reliant. And I kind of want to go along that same avenue today. But I wanted to take a different twist with it, because I've noticed that there's a lot of guilt being held around prosperity, especially when it's financial prosperity. You know, it's interesting to see that billionaires will often almost deny their own wealth. They'll say, oh yeah, but you know, I'm going to give it all away, right? I mean, you get guys like Warren Buffett who, you know, says, hey, I'm going to give all my stuff away to charities, and you know, my family, they'll figure it, they'll get enough. They're fine. You know, they're taken care of, whatever, but I'm going to give away all my money to charity, or a good chunk of his money away to charity, which is fine. That's up to him. Right. But it's interesting because, among that kind of platform, especially his political persuasion, it's interesting because there's a lot of people villainizing those that have a lot of money. There's even talk about putting caps on people where you can't make more than $1 billion a year. And if you make, You basically can't make more. You're capped at that, right? There's talk about, you know, just taking from the rich and giving to the poor, which has been a long time tenet of things, even from socialism and things like that, right? It's trying to distribute wealth among people equally, you know, taxing more of the rich and things like that, right? And again, I'm not trying to get into a political conversation here with this, because the truth is that this is really a principle conversation that we want to talk about here. And then you can decide whatever you want from a political standpoint, how to take that and how you want to act on that. But it's interesting because even my wife, she had been following one of the Democratic candidates. Now, she's been following one of the members that's in the currently running for a Democratic race. And I think as a result of her following her, she ended up getting this survey sent to her saying, hey, you know, we want to talk to you about, I think it was actually a phone call survey that said, we want to talk to you about how you view money. And a lot of the questions kept centering around, do you feel bad? Do you make X amount of money, or do you have so much money? And if so, do you feel bad about it? Are you ashamed of money? Do you feel like you can't have conversations about having more money? And it really got her thinking, and she started to share that with me, and it got me thinking, because there have been times, I know that there was times I actually boasted of my financial position, especially before the last recession. And then afterwards, as I started to make more money, I wouldn't necessarily excuse it. But definitely, like, I can see where some people feel that way, because to be honest, you are villainized for having money. And it's almost like you got a target on your back for doing that. Now, at the same time, like, I'm not going to shy away from that. I just don't care enough to really care about that, right? But it's fascinating that so many people feel shameful and almost guilty about prosperity. And I wonder how many of us are actually restricting how much prosperity we can create in our life, how much financial prosperity we can have, purely out of what other people might think of us, right? Now, some of you may not care, and that's great. But you might have other issues. You might have other issues saying, well, wait, I have a lot of money, but I can give more. And there's people say, well, these rich people can give more away, so why don't they? And it brings me back to a conversation I had in 2006 with a family member. I remember we went out to lunch, and I've shared this before on a few other episodes, but I remember we went out to lunch and we started talking about, you know, the different things with money, right? And prosperity. And I could see that there's obviously a block there. And he was making just over $100,000 a year with his job. But he had an obvious block. And he's just like, you know, I don't think people should make too much money. In fact, I think sometimes people have too much money. And I said, well, how much is too much? And he didn't really have a definitive answer. He just said, well, let me give you an example. I know somewhat of a public figure here in Salt Lake City, and I've known him for years. And apparently he was a friend of his, apparently, but he disagreed with his life. He said, well, he's making $300,000 a year off of his rentals. And I was waiting for the punchline. I'm like, and? He's like, well, he doesn't need that much money. And I brought up to him, I said, well, you mentioned to me that you make about $100,000 a year at that time, right? You're making about $100,000 a year. You said you can live on less. So if that's true and you're to be congruent with that belief, why don't you go to your boss and ask for a pay decrease? And he got really quiet, and he's already a quiet man as it is, but there's a little smile that cracked in the corner of his mouth because he knew he got caught. He got trapped. And that's the way it is when it comes to principles. When you really start to look at the principle and take the emotional stories and baggage that we put around things, you know, it really comes down to there's a lot of BS that we buy into, right? And he bought into that. Now, it's funny, after that, he actually became one of my very first unofficial clients after I had just retired, right? And he started to want to learn more because he realized it was different than what he had been taught. He knew that there was things he needed to learn, which humbled me because the guy was about 70 years old. Well, at that time I was in my late 20s. So he was more than twice my age, and it definitely humbled me for sure. But guys, that's kind of the point I want to bring up here, is there's a lot of people talking and bashing on prosperity and especially financial wealth. And how much is too much? And should they even hold that? And I can hear people saying, like, well, organizations shouldn't be holding on to money. They should be giving it. Companies shouldn't be taking all their profits and using it here or there. Now, granted, I think it's unethical that a company would say, especially when we had the bailouts, where a company would say, hey, give me money from the government, and then they use that to pay bonuses. Yes, I'm totally against that. I think that's a violation of principle. And they get their comeuppance. I mean, I'll tell you, karma works. It really does. And especially when you violate laws of prosperity, it does bite you in the butt. But there's a lot of people that, hey, who cares if they're holding on to money? Who cares if they have more profit? The truth is that most people, if they're wise stewards, and I'm not saying everybody's a wise steward. This is why I'm teaching about stewardship principles so often, is that if you're a wise steward of your money, you are looking for ways. Now, some of the things you might be doing, you might be holding on to money because you might say, hey, I feel that this is the right thing to do. You might say, I want to hold on to $1 million. I actually heard somebody on, just talk about it at my mastermind. He says, hey, somebody said they only wanted to hold on to, they wanted to have a couple hundred thousand in cash. He's like, I want to hold on to 7 figures of cash. He's like, why? Because it makes me feel more at peace. Now, someone might say, well, that's horrible. Why would they hold on to that much money? They could be doing so much good in the world. Well, think of it this way. Yes, you could be doing a lot of good in the world, but it's not your job to tell them what to do with their money. You have no right to tell other people what to do with their money. Now, you might shake your head and say, well, that's ridiculous. I wouldn't do that. But that's fine. It's not your call. There's things I think are ridiculous too. There's even sometimes I get clients to do things. And they'll say, yeah, you're probably going to judge me, Chris. That's probably horrible. I'm like, it's your choice of what you want to do. I don't care if it's horrible or not. It's your money, your freedom. That's the whole beauty of gift of having freedom of choice, having that agency, that freedom to choose however you want, that freedom to use your resources however you want. And you know what? To be honest, I may not be the best judge of what you should be doing with all your money. Now I have great ideas, especially if you want to make more with it and put those resources to use to create cash flow. Yeah, I've got plenty of ideas. But at the end of the day, it's up to you what you want to do with your money. It's up to you how you want to use it and what you want to use it on, right? It's up to you whether you want to donate 100% of it. I might criticize guys like Warren Buffett, say, yeah, you're going to brag about it. I'm not criticizing the fact of what he wants to do with his money. I criticize of why he's saying what he's saying, because often he'll give people the excuse to say, yeah, even the rich don't like their money. They don't think that anybody should get it. It should just go to charities. Well, first off, there's a lot of charities that aren't wise stewards of their money. There are some that are, but there's many that aren't, right? And so, yeah, even when I give away to charities, and I do donate a lot to charities, I want to make sure that they're wise stewards of how they use it, right? So anyways, I mean, the point comes back to this is really, how is it affecting you? What is your viewpoint around having more money? Is there a point where you say, oh, that's just too much? Now, granted, I think it's almost impossible because your mind subconsciously or consciously will stop yourself from making too much money beyond what you know what to do with it. If you want to have more money, the truth is you've got to have an actual purpose for that money. You can't just say, hey, I just want to have more money. Like, for example, I had somebody who said, yeah, I want to make $1 million this year, Chris. Now, they've never made much more than $100,000 in their business, but they all of a sudden said that year they want to make $1 million. And they're in their 20s. So I'm like, okay, well, why? Because I just want to. I want to feel like I accomplished something. Oh, okay. So it's about feeding your ego. Okay, got it. So what? Then what? I just want to have $1 million. Oh, maybe I'll invest it or something. Okay, yeah, that's what a lot of people will say. Sure. And the truth is they didn't really have a reason other than they just wanted to be able to brag, especially because this guy wanted to be up on stages and stuff. He just wanted to brag that he made $1 million because he's heard other people that he was trying to copy bragging about the same thing, which I know for a fact those people didn't make, weren't making $1 million a year doing what they're doing. In fact, some of them, I wonder if they're even struggling right now to even make ends meet because they weren't even doing business well. But it's funny because the numbers caught in his head. And I said, okay, how about this? Like, you've never made $1 million and you're not in the mindset to make $1 million. I know that for a fact. Like, you have more mental prep work to do to get there. I said, but what about 300,000? What if you tried really hard to hit $1 million and you only hit 300,000? That's still at least double what you've ever made in your entire life. He's like, that would be horrible. Horrible. Why? Because I have to make $1 million. Well, why do you have to make $1 million? You haven't given me a good reason yet. Well, I just have to. I'm like, listen, if you can't be grateful for 300,000, you won't be grateful when you get to $1 million either. It's not going to happen. And the truth is 300,000, if you're in your mid 20s, making 300,000 a year, oh my goodness, huge applause to you because I wish I could have done that by the time I hit my mid 20s. By my mid 20s, I was still broke. I still wasn't making a lot of money. So the fact that you're even making over $100,000 a year is incredible. You should be happy and grateful, not just, you know, trying to do that. Now, I wasn't trying to stop him from hitting those upper limits. I was just preparing him, saying, hey, what's the real purpose? What's the reason? And so if you want to hit more limits, I'll tell you, one of the biggest secrets to hitting higher numbers is having a real purpose, knowing what you would do with the money when it comes, to the point where you know when it finally does come, you're like, great, I know exactly how I'm going to deploy it. I'm going to know exactly how I'm going to use it. The more clear you are, the more likely you are to start accelerating towards those goals. And if you're thinking about 2020, I would take that to heart big time. So anyways, coming back to this topic, right? Yeah, how much is too much? Well, too much is going to be the more than what you know how to do with. To be honest, if I were given $1 billion, my son actually asked me this question just a couple of days ago. He's my 13-year-old son. He said, Dad, if you had $1 billion, what would you do? I said, honestly, after I spent, and invested, several million of it, I wouldn't be able to invest $1 billion of it, especially if you only gave me one day to do it. I couldn't. I would probably hold it in reserves for quite a while until I knew what to do with it. Now, here's the thing. Now, if somebody says, hey, I want to keep 7 figures in my bank account, someone might say, well, that could be used to feed the hungry or clothe the naked or whatever, right? It's true. He could. But here's the other side of the coin. What happens to the money when you don't use it? Now, if you bury it in your backyard, yes, that doesn't work. But what if you gave it to other institutions? What if it went into a bank? What if it went to like your insurance policies or wherever it might be, right? You realize that that money is not sitting there stagnant, collecting dust on a shelf, right? It's not actually sitting in a vault like Scrooge McDuck that you can go swimming through. That money is actually being put to use, whether you're using it or not. If you're not going to be a steward of it, other people can be a steward of it. Now, I'm not in favor of just giving your money over to people just to let them do it because you have no clue what to do with it. That's an easy way to lose money too, right? But I'll tell you, you can never bless a wise steward with too much money, especially when they know what to do with it. And so when you give it to banks, for example, or insurance companies, which are basically large banks, when you do that, guess what? They already know what they're going to do with that money. They already know how they're going to invest it and how they're going to use it. Realize that that money is circulating. Say that they go and invest it in getting more loans. Guess what? That allows people to get more loans. It could be the very people that can't afford it. The very people that don't have any money are getting loans to the bank from the money that you stored in their bank. Plus some, because they can lend out more than they can. Unless it's insurance companies, they can't lend out more than you give them, right? But they can use that money to create more. They can use that to be invested, which actually goes back to the people. So even if you put in savings, it still works. What about companies that make big profits? What do they do? A lot of people are poo-pooing all over trickle-down economics, right? And voodoo economics, as Reagan called it. They're just criticizing it, saying it never worked. Guess what? It had worked. It worked a lot. Though the economy's proved it. It does trickle down. Now, when they're saying you just give people bonuses, well, yeah, but guess what those people with bonuses do? If they're investing it, are they using it to buy more assets? Maybe. Are they actually spending that money? Maybe they're blowing it. Great. They just blew it to the economy. They probably gave you a job. If you work at Best Buy, right, you're getting a job when people blow money. If you work at Walmart, even if you're making, minimum wage or just above it, guess what? You're making money because they gave it to you. So there's so many different ways that people are benefiting. And if they reinvest in their companies and they help to grow, now there has to be an incentive to grow. There has to be self-interest there. So if they have incentive to grow because, hey, they want more profit, because it is in our nature to grow and progress. That is a natural, eternal desire in all of us. We want to grow. We want to improve. We want to be better in our life, our quality of life to improve. That is a natural self-interest that every human being has. And I believe it's holy. Not just natural. I think it's holy. Now you can take it too far. You can become selfish and you can become self-centered. But when you're self-interested, especially when it's from a stewardship perspective where it's more enlightened, it's even better, right? Because people want to progress. So if you give the companies the ability to do that, they will. You put a cap on somebody, say, hey, you can't make more than $1 billion. Either one or two things can happen. One, they're going to try to find a loophole around it, because I guarantee the politicians will make a loophole for them, because politicians also want to make money and many of them do make good money. But they're going to try to find a loophole around that. Or they're going to say, well, now if it really does have solid ceiling on them, why would they want to go beyond that? Why would they want to keep growing? Why would they want to create more jobs for many of you? They won't. They'll stop. They lost the incentive. You know, this is why, like, you know, trying to put higher tax rates on people as people get richer is kind of dumb. I actually like the flat tax that was it, Herman. I can't remember his name now, but you know, the guy that ran against Trump, actually. I actually liked the idea of a flat tax because it didn't restrict me from wanting to create more. In fact, I wanted to make more money because I knew I wouldn't be taxed more. You know how many people I hear saying, oh, I'm afraid to go in that next tax bracket because then I'll start getting taxed more on that portion of that money. It's like, well, that's dumb. You're actually restricting people from doing that. Now, they'll still do it, of course. And of course, people will pay buku bucks or they'll find ways to write off things, and the tax code's meant for that. But it's kind of nice if we could simplify the tax code and make it easier. See, self-interest is in all of our nature, right? We all want to be better. We all want more. And the truth is that if you focus on real principles, the reason why people actually have more money, for the most part, especially if you don't restrict them, if you don't try to make it so hard for people to prosper that they have to find unethical ways or even illegal ways to do it, if you make it easier for people to prosper, giving them that freedom to not violate the laws, but still allow them to prosper and not feel bad about it, hey, guess what? People will. And how do they prosper? Value creation, creating value, serving and solving problems. The reason why the wealthiest people are wealthy is because they're solving problems. Jeffrey Bezos, right? The reason that Amazon's doing so well is because he's solved big issues and he's a visionary. You're seeing this with Elon Musk. You know, he's trying to find ways to solve problems and create new and really innovative technologies, right? You're seeing this even with Bill Gates. I mean, he made money because he created value. All that is from value creation, guys. If you understand that everything that's good in the world, a lot of the things are good is because people did good things for people, and then naturally money was a byproduct, why would you care? That's the beauty about financial prosperity. That's the beauty of what you should look for. Now, that being said, I want you guys to really ponder on this over this really the next year, if not your lifetime, is that I want you guys to really be okay with it. Now, I know some people say, I wish I had million-dollar problems or whatever, right? Yeah, I know, I get it. But deep down, there are so many of us that have these little issues with prosperity, with having more money, because of what we believe others would think. Or we don't want our children to know. We don't want them to become spoiled, right? And that kind of thing. Here's the thing. Money only magnifies your soul. It only makes you more of who you already are. So if you're worried about spoiling your children, it's because you raised spoiled brats before the money. You know, it's your job to focus on helping them not become entitled jerks, right? And become good citizens. That's our job. You know, I know I've got eight. I've got six of my own. My wife has two. And we do struggle with that because, I mean, hey, her daughters have never known struggle. My kids know. They've gone through some of those struggles. They haven't always had a lot, but, you know, that still, relatively speaking, compared to what we experienced, both my wife and I, even growing up as kids, they've had a life of ease. We don't want them to take that for granted. We want them to know. That's why, like, I'm looking forward to 2020 for doing like mission trips and things like that, and things to give our kids even some other experiences, not just for us, for me, and not just to bang our chest and say, hey, we gave money, but to actually like give them the experience and realize, hey, you know, you've been blessed, very blessed. But you know, it's our responsibility as stewards to share in those blessings. And there's lots of ways to share. You can share by solving problems and creating value and making more money. You can also do it by also giving to others, to share of those blessings. You realize one of the best quotes I heard, and it was actually when I was a financial advisor, funny enough, one of the best quotes I heard early on was somebody had got up as a financial advisor, got up. He said, you know what? God cannot use broke servants. And now, granted, I do disagree with that to some point. I believe that anybody, anywhere, can in any situation can do something to serve people. Even if it's simply a smile, a friendly gesture, to be a friend, to be a listening ear, you know, to even like, you know, I would shovel driveways. You know, when it snowed, I would shovel like sometimes up to 10 neighbors' driveways. I remember one Christmas morning I was shoveling like 10 neighbors' driveways or more. Maybe it was like 12 to 14. It was a lot. My back hurt badly. I was on ibuprofen for the rest of the day. But, you know, I was out there shoveling, you know, and I would do that a lot. Now I just try to at least get to my neighbor's sidewalk, you know, it's a little harder, or just hire it out. But I would do those kind of things to try to show even when I was most broke, when I had no money to give, I would at least try to give service, right? And there's so many ways you can give. And I believe that's our responsibility as stewards. And many of us have been blessed. I know a lot of you on the show have been blessed like I have, or blessed to some level. And you've been blessed. If you've got a car, you've got a home, you're blessed more than most of the world anyways, right? We've got something to give, even if it's a little bit of energy, your time, our hearts, our minds, or even our bodies, as I mentioned, or even our money. You know, there's lots of things we can do. You know, I want to bring up one example. You know, just like last year, I brought up the example of the cows and the goats. This year, we're trying to find different charities we can do things for. And we found one. If you guys actually go, and regardless of your religious affiliation, this is a great site to check out, is comeuntochrist.org. That's comeuntochrist.org. And on there, there's a thing, and they actually even highlight it, about the giving machines. And you can see it on, you can click on that. There's actually 10 locations, mostly in the U.S., some around the world. You know, for example, around the world, there's places like London, there's the Philippines. In the U.S., there's places like Manhattan, in New York, you know, New York City. There's North Shore of Oahu, you know, San Jose, California, Vegas, Denver, Gilbert, Arizona, even Salt Lake City and Orem, Utah, like two places in Utah. They've got these different places where these are vending machines you can actually donate to charities. And they connect with all the local charities in those areas, as well as the bigger charities like UNICEF, WaterAid, and places like that, where they'll actually give. And what's so cool about it, it's almost like a red box, right? And so with my family, we decided a couple of days ago, we said, hey, let's take a tour. And we actually, in Salt Lake City, there's awesome place. If you're ever in Salt Lake City, you should definitely check out what, in my opinion, is one of the best uses of stewardship and charities and welfare programs, because most of the welfare programs we see with the government is very entitlement mentality, right? They're more focused on self-reliance. And so we went to the Welfare Square that's in Salt Lake City, as well as the Humanitarian Center there, and just was so inspired and so amazed at the worldwide work that they do. And then we went into downtown Salt Lake City, and in there they have like these five humongous vending machines. They look like giant red boxes, right? And we went in there, and there was different things you could pick from, and everything from like $5 all the way up to several hundred you can donate. And you just, you know, swipe your card, you enter the number just like a vending machine you would for like getting a snack or a drink, same kind of thing, put the number in, and it basically donates to that charity. So we told our kids, we had seven of our eight kids with us. We said, all right, guys, you have $50 allotted to each of you. Pick whatever you want. You can pick a combination. You can try to pool your money together if it's more than 50 bucks. For example, a goat was a, you know, yeah, I think it was a pig. A pig was actually $100. So we're talking about getting the piglet, which would help them start, somebody in those developing countries start a piglet farm so they can raise money and support themselves, right? Same thing with goats. There was chickens, same thing, not just to eat, right? But actually to raise a farm and help them to self-sustain and make money versus just keep taking more gifts and handouts. And there's even things like one of my kids, for $50 exactly, he picked 200 meals for a family. And I thought, that is so cool. For a family of four, if you think about that, that would feed them for like 3 weeks. And so he did that. You know, I had other kids, as simple as $5 macaroni and cheese case, you know, a case of macaroni and cheese, things like that. I mean, there's just all kinds of things they could do. I thought it was so awesome. It was so great. And it was a great experience for them. In fact, when we got to the end of the day, and we even went and ate and we did some fun stuff too. But, you know, at the end of the day, a lot of them actually really enjoyed their favorite part of Christmas was actually giving. And what's funny is that we actually had, you know, we're going to go on a trip to go to Vegas just to spend, you know, a week as a family during, you know, but right before Christmas. And those plans changed. And so we say, hey, instead of money we have spent for Vegas, why not spend it to give back, you know? And even my wife sending money to, you know, like food to her uncle in Venezuela and things like that. I mean, all these things we could do instead with that money, and so much of a better experience. And so guys, like, we've all been blessed. And maybe you've been in a place like I've been before where you feel like there's not much to give. And that's fine too. Like, there's ways to give beyond just money. Those of us that have money, what are you using it for? I will tell you that for me personally, like, I do tithing where I donate 10%, and then some. I even do fasting, you know, once a month where we'll go without food and, you know, basically food without for two meals, really about 24 hours, go without food. And then we take the money we would have spent and then some, and we can donate that, which also goes to charities like this. And on top of that, still doing more charities is awesome. And I will tell you, even when I was struggling or paycheck to paycheck, when I even at least donated 10% of my income, I can attest to you that I was always fed, that things always came through. Sometimes it came through in the hands of other people, right? Sometimes it came through and somebody's just saying, hey, was thinking about you and brought over some food, right? When I might've needed food, right? Or, hey, just thinking about you. Here you go. Here's a gift. And it might be the perfect time that I needed it. But I will tell you, I never died because I'm still here, right? And I went through financial hardships that many of you guys have never seen yourselves. Some of you might have, but most of you haven't. And I can attest to you that, you know, I'm grateful for those people that were blessed at those times, especially during the recession, that also gave me a helping hand to help me out so that when I became more self-sufficient, self-reliant, I could do the same for others. And so guys, that's my challenge to you. And it doesn't have to be, you know, like I mentioned here, it doesn't have to be this charity I mentioned. It could be anything. It could be whatever you feel called to do, but look for ways to give. Instead of just giving gifts to your kids, look for ways that maybe they can give to others. And some of you I know are already doing this, but I appreciate you guys. I hope that and pray that you guys have a wonderful holiday season, that you enjoy this time of year with your family, your loved ones, and really just doing the things that lights you up, that allows you to be a light like that city set upon a hill, right? That you guys can really be that rippler, that create that ripple effect for other people too. So guys, I hope you make a wonderful and prosperous holiday season and new year, and we'll talk to you later.
Thanks for listening to The Chris Miles Money Show. Don't forget to subscribe to us on iTunes and make us a part of your daily routine. And check out our blogs and learn more about Chris, his services, and how we can help you at moneyripples.com. Join us next time on The Chris Miles Money Show.